Okay, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here. I hope you're all well. Today sees us continuing in our series on the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to be moving on from what Rob shared last week, looking at baptism in the Spirit, and we're going to be looking at gifting in the Spirit. So this will be the first of three preaches, or there'll be another couple after this about spiritual gifting. So this morning really is an overview with emphasis just to say it's for all of us. Okay, so throughout this morning, as you hear and as you're thinking, keep in mind, it's for all of us here this morning. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be in. And just as you're doing that, I want to just give you an opportunity this morning to just to dream for a minute. Yes, Rob? Like that? Cool, okay. So I want to give you the opportunity just to think for a minute. What is it that you think is important on a Sunday morning? Or what is it that you think makes a really good church service? What kind of church do you want to be in? Now, obviously, there are many different answers you could give. You could maybe say teas and coffees and cake at the end. Pretty much there on that one. Or you could say you really want to be a part of a church that cares for the poor, a very social action-minded church. You could say you want to be in a church which is joyful. You don't want to come here and be glum on a Sunday morning. Actually, you think there should be something of joy in the house when you come on a Sunday morning. But I wonder how many of us would say, as a first response, that they feel a Sunday morning should be one where we encounter the very presence of God in a tangible way. So last week, we encountered the presence of God. So, just hopefully this is still going to work as I go down. Rita is going to just, do you want a mic or can you chat? Yep. So Rita is just going to share with us what happened last week, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Morning, everybody. You hear me? Okay, right. Last Sunday in the service here, we were asked if we wanted the Holy Spirit to come to us. I stood up, put my hands out, and I started to pray, and then Stacey came to me. The longer we prayed, the more the Holy Spirit came to me. I'm going to get all emotional, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit came to me, and He is the most amazing, awesome, electrifying experience anybody could have. And then in the afternoon, I just felt as if I was on cloud nine. I've been on ever since. And I can't explain it any more than that. I'm sorry. I'm getting so emotional. It's amazing.
Cool. Okay. That's a pretty good testimony of what happened last week, isn't it? I wonder who else would say last week, either maybe you were prayed for or you prayed for somebody, maybe shared something with somebody. Who else would say last week you encountered something of the presence of God, something of the Holy Spirit? Just a quick, yeah, okay, one, two, three, yeah, okay, cool. Okay, so we have experienced it, haven't we? This morning, you might have felt something of the Spirit welling up inside of you, speaking to you, challenging you, provoking you, encouraging you. Terry Virgo was asked a similar question to the one I asked you. What kind of church would you like to be in? What would you like the church to look like? And he said this. He said he wanted to see a church where God's presence is prized and where God is enthusiastically worshipped, with genuine freedom for men and women to worship publicly in the Holy Spirit, to use spiritual gifts, and to participate in body ministry. See, if I can be Pentecostal for one moment, I think when we experience spiritual gifts, what it says is that God is in the house, that the Lord is in the house. When we meet together and we experience these things, it's a practical demonstration. It's showing life. It's saying we're alive. It's a demonstration, tangible demonstration of the Spirit's power moving among us. Now, you could say, well, there's other ways we can tell whether the church is alive. Of course you could. And we could talk about that all morning as well. But actually, when you see men and women moving in gifts of the Spirit, when you see children moving in gifts of the Spirit, what it says is these people aren't here just to talk about a dead king in a book, someone confined to history. These people are here and they're meeting with a God who is alive. They're meeting with a God who loves to meet with his people, and he's promised throughout Scripture to do so. Does that sound good to you? Come, that was pathetic. Does that sound good to you? See, I think we could build a church and it could be nice. And we could have nice cake and coffee, and we could be warmly welcomed when we came through the doors, and everything could be so smooth, and everyone would say the right thing, and big smiles on our faces all the time. But actually, without the presence of God, it's like a house where the lights are on, but no one's home. You see something of it in Exodus 3. Moses is leading God's people, and he says to God, look, if you're not going to come with us, we don't want to go up from this place, because it is your presence that separates us, that makes us different from those around us. So there's plenty of other things we could do on a Sunday morning. I could join a fishing club and fish on Sunday mornings. They would welcome me warmly. Whether or not they'd have coffee, I don't know. We could all probably find other things to occupy our time with. But the thing that separates us apart from these other people is that when we come together, we're doing so seeking after the presence of God. We're coming into his very presence. The God who created the universe says, I'm going to meet with you this morning. We heard it. He met with us last week. He's met with us this morning. So we know if we're going to build a church which is really going to impact a dying world, then it needs to be one that is moving in the power of God. Now, you can have a couple of misunderstandings when you get to this point, when we talk about spiritual gifts. If you said to me, give me a book which is going to provoke and inspire me, I would say, check out this guy, John G. Lake. And you might start reading this book or any number of books, and you'd start reading about where he talks about his baptism in the Spirit. And you would read something along the lines of, the power came to me. And it was like electric shocks rushing through my body. And I couldn't move, for the power of the Spirit was upon me. And you think, wow. And then you think, well, what kind of gifting did this guy move in? Hundreds of thousands of people saved. Countless people healed. Going into hospitals and saying, find me the ones you can't diagnose. And then prophesying over them what was wrong with them. Finding people who needed x-rays and just saying, look, when you x-ray them, give me enough space so I can put my hand on them as well. And then seeing reconstructive miracles as he prayed and the x-rays were taken. Now you can hear that and say, or you could hear that and you can say, that's what baptism in the Spirit looks like then, right? Power encounters, because I've read it in the book, and I've read it in this book, and this book, and this guy, and this guy. And if you're going to move in any kind of spiritual gifting, well, this guy did amazing things and great power, so maybe that's what spiritual gifting should look like. Or you go the other way, and you sit here on a Sunday morning and look around, and someone's sharing something, and you just think, that's nice, but it's not for me. Because the Lord wouldn't want to use me in any kind of spiritual gifting. He couldn't, wouldn't want to, and I'm just not that kind of person. Well, who says you're not? Who says God won't use you in the same kind of power as that guy? Now, you could say, well, they're extremes. They're extreme ends of the scale. And we're kind of somewhere in the middle. But actually, the moment you start to go one way, where it's, you know, if I'm going to prophesy on a Sunday morning, it's got to sound like the way that guy prophesies. Or you go the other way and you say, well, it's just not for me. I'm going to be here, but spiritual gifts, just not in my makeup at all. Just not the kind of person I am. The moment that you slip into those things is the moment we begin to lose something of God's desire to build the church in a glorious way. Because he's called you and me to be part of that. And one of the ways we do that is by moving in spiritual gifts. And it's declaring that God's presence is here. So maybe the first question then to ask is, why do we even want spiritual gifts? And at this point, we could come up with some great big theological answer. But I think it's pretty basic. It's because the Lord wants to give them to us. And if the Lord has declared that he wants to give something to me, I want it. Who wouldn't want something that the Lord says he wants to give to them? One theologian puts it like this. He says, spiritual gifts are God empowering his people through the Holy Spirit for kingdom life and service, enabling them in attitude and action to live and to minister in a manner that glorifies Christ. Now, I know for me, I don't only want that, I'm in desperate need of that. Because by myself, I don't think I'm that impressive. And I don't really think there's much about me which is going to change the environment that I might find myself in. But I know that men and women, kids who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, moving in any number of a variety of gifts, is a completely different ball game. It's completely different. So, the question is, at the very beginning, do you want that or not? I'll take the nods to begin with. We'll build up to the full-blown amens. Okay, do we want it? So this is what it says then. So if you turn in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 12 says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these things are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individually as he wills. So a little bit of background first then. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. This church is a mess. This is an oversight's worst nightmare. There's different problems that are going on that need to be addressed. In particular is this problem of the misuse and abuse of spiritual gifts. And you've got this certain group of people in the church who seem to think that if they pray loud enough, and if they pray long enough, and if their prayers are just so eloquent, that what they're doing is they're elevating themselves and various gifts to another level. In particular, it seems to be speaking in tongues. And the problem had got so much that other believers in the church who didn't speak in tongues have concluded, it's just not for us, we can't even be part of this body anymore. So it's into this situation Paul is writing. God says, I want to use gifts to bring unity in the church. These guys in Corinthians are seeking to bring disunity in the church. My gift's better than your gift. I'm higher, I'm more spiritual than you are. I'm more holy than you are. Don't you hear the way that I pray? Don't you hear the words that I use? It's causing real problems. So Paul addresses this problem. And he does so by spelling out what it means as like an overview of spiritual gifts. So this morning we're going to look at what is the source of gifts, what is the goal of gifts, and what is the distribution of gifts. But before we get onto those three things, I'd ask you one more question. When it comes to gifting, do you think that you are in or do you think you're out? Do you think that God wants to use you? Or are you thinking, it's all right for everyone else, but it's not for me? Do you think right now, sitting where you are, without doing anything else, you are qualified to move in spiritual gifts? Or, in some way, are you not qualified? Paul says this in verse 7. He says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one. To each one. So, are you the each one? Am I the each one? Are you the each one or not? Jump back a bit to verse 2 and 3. He says this. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Spirit. So what does he mean when he says each one? Well, it's those who have been led astray, been led away by mute idols, and now can say Jesus is Lord, because it's a work of the Spirit. Your life's been changed. So we've already seen in the series that one of the main aims of the Spirit is to glorify Jesus. So before we came to Jesus, what did we do? Well, we ran after different things, didn't we? It might be money, I don't know, houses, cars, sex, whatever it was. Yet none of those things had the ability to save us. None of those things spoke to us. They were mute idols. They didn't offer us anything. So what happened to us? Holy Spirit happened to us. The Spirit moved. He led us to a place where we can say that Jesus is Lord. You can't say that unless you're full of the Holy Spirit, unless he's done a work in you. If you want to think the way that Jesus thinks, if you want to act like him, if you want to do the things he did, you're not going to do it unless you are full of the Holy Spirit. If you fall into that camp of knowing that Jesus is Lord, you're qualified to move in spiritual gifts this morning. Now, you can argue that and you can say, well, that's not right. We could go into town right now and we could find any number of people who will say Jesus is Lord. Slip them a tenner and they'll probably say it all day. Jesus obviously realized this was going to be a problem as well, because he says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says, says Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. So what it comes down to is, do you mean it? Do you mean it? When you cut out all the religious stuff and you sing the songs we sung this morning, do you mean it? Because the only way you can sing those songs and mean it is if the Spirit has done a work in your life. You can't imitate Jesus if the Spirit hasn't done a work in your life. So if you mean it this morning, if you know that Jesus is Lord of your life, that when you sing those songs, you mean them with your heart, you know a work has happened in your life, you are more than qualified to move in spiritual gifts this morning. They're for you. And if you don't mean it, you can this morning. You can come into the relationship with this God we sing about and this God we're talking about this morning. The invitation is there for you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, to come to that place this morning. What that means, I think, is this. Straight away, in love, I want to say to you, we can cut out the "I'm not good enough." You can forget about the whole, "Well, they're just not for me. I'm a young Christian, da, da, da. I'm not really mature enough." Forget all of that. Because the Bible says you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, which means you're qualified to move in spiritual gifts this morning. They're not earned. They're not deserved. They're a grace gift that the Spirit wants to give to us this morning. It might mean you move in different measures of power in gifting. That's totally cool. That's fine. But do not doubt this morning that it is the Spirit's desire to give you gifts in your life. And we'll see why in a minute. So, what does Paul say about gifting in this passage? Well, first thing is, he shows us the source of the gifts. So verse 4, he says, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of service, but the same Lord, and a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in every one. So that's one of the beautiful things of the church, isn't it? When you look around this morning, look at the person next to you, it's made up of a group of people who wouldn't normally come together. It's made up a group of people who are coming under one aim, Jesus Christ, and to worship him. So, to be realistic, not all of us would maybe have that much in common. And if we kind of had a dinner party, maybe not all of us would have that much to talk about, to be honest, if it wasn't for the fact that we love Jesus. If it wasn't for the fact that we share this combined vision and value of the kingdom of God. And it would be boring if we were all the same. If we were all the same, all of you would be looking at that clock and thinking, this afternoon I'm going fishing and I can't wait. Wouldn't that be dull? Didn't have a single nod of it would be great. Jerry, come on. So, right. We're all part of the body, aren't we? We're going to see this in a couple of weeks' time. There's no such thing as one size fits all when it comes to gifting. Just like we're not all the same, when the Spirit gives gifts, it is not one size fits all. He gives different gifts to different people in a different way. What's the aim? For the glory of God and to bring glory to Jesus and unity in the body. Paul touches on it later on, which I'm sure we'll look at in the next coming weeks, where you've got a picture of a body and all the parts of the body come together to work perfectly. If you knock out one of them, the whole thing's not going to work. So if I said to you this morning, what bit of the body don't you want anymore? So if I said, John, what bit of your body don't you want anymore? You don't want your legs? Should we have it? Let's have your leg off, shall we? And your arm, let's have that off as well. Right arm. I've even got a volunteer. Any surgeons? It's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely ridiculous talk. If you're going to function properly, you need every part of your body. For the church to function the way that it should do, there needs to be a variety of spiritual gifts on display. Now, some might be more dramatic, yes. Some might be more visual, yes. Some might come from the front of the church, yes. But once we start getting into the position of elevating certain gifts above others, elevating maybe certain people above others because they prophesy from the front and I don't, we're going to have the same problem the Corinthian church did. We're going to be going the same way. Whatever the gift is, the source is the same. It doesn't matter whether you are prophesying on a platform in front of thousands or whether you're opening up your home on a Sunday afternoon for people to come around for hospitality. It's the same gift. So Paul lists off these gifts in verse 8. He says, for to one is given through the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretations of tongues. All these are given and empowered by the same Spirit. And that's not an exhaustive list. You go on. Verse 12, Paul lists administration, apostles, help, knowledge. Romans 12 lists exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, teaching. Ephesians 4, apostle, evangelist, pastor, prophet, teacher. You also read in scripture about hospitality, about volunteering, about missionaries, and about martyrdom. Same Spirit, different gifts. So your question might be, well, what is my spiritual gift? This morning, what is the gifting that is the Lord has for me? Practically, there's some ways you can find out. You can ask God to reveal it to you. Specifically ask God to reveal it to you. Who better to ask than the giver of the gifts in the first place? You can find some Christian friends who you trust and ask them what they see in your life. Because often people will see things in you that you don't see yourself. Maybe you could try serving in different areas and see whether some sort of gifting develops out of that in a way that you're able to serve those around you, or follow the desires of your heart. The Lord puts desires in us, and he also gives us the desires of our heart. So maybe there's a desire in your heart for certain gifting, for certain service. Maybe follow that and see whether that is something the Lord really breathes on. So regardless of what gift it is this morning, whether you think it just doesn't really do much, whatever it is, listen, it's the same Spirit that gives the gift. And we can't get into the trap of thinking, well, one's better than the other and all the rest of it. It's not right. It's the same Spirit that gives the gift. So if the Spirit is the source, what's the goal? Well, verse 7 again, it says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the word manifestation means to show something of the Spirit, to bring light on the Spirit that others would see it. So he gives us the ability to show the Spirit for the common good. Wayne Grudem is a theologian. He puts it like this. He says, when the Holy Spirit works in various ways, different gifting can be perceived by believers and unbelievers. This encourages people's faith that God is near and that he's working to fulfill his purposes in the church and to bring blessings to his people. Now, if that is right, and the Spirit working in different ways encourages people's faith, I mean, who here has been encouraged by a prophecy at all over your life? Pretty much everyone. Who here has been encouraged when the Feltons have had them around for lunch? Really? Again, quite a few people. Hospitality. Now, if that's true, surely that means you can't stash gifting away for yourself. Because what good is it going to do to the church and those around you if you're not using the gifting that the Lord has given to you? Gifting is always for something, and it is not so that you can feel nice on a Sunday morning. It's to show something of God's power and presence to people. It's to encourage others. It's to build them up. The Spirit doesn't give gifts that we can just boast in them. We can marvel at how spiritual we are. He gives them to equip the church, to build up the church, to give power in evangelism, reveal God's presence, and to glorify Jesus. In a church where gifts are well used, it will promote health and growth in that church. And you see something about this in Acts 3. Pentecost has happened. We've already heard about it in the series. The Spirit has been poured out as promised. These disciples, these believers, are full with this new power, and they're going out, and you see Peter and John, they're walking up to the temple to pray, and there's a guy who comes out in front of them, a beggar, and he's asking for stuff. And they look at him, and he looks at them, and he thinks, I'm going to get something. And what they say to him, what Peter says is, look, silver and gold, I haven't got any of it, all right? But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And what does the guy do? Up to his feet, starts walking around, goes to them to the temple. He's jumping around, and what's he doing? Praising God. He's praising God. He has experienced something of the power of God worked out through a spiritual gift. Now, note, it does not say he went off praising Peter. Peter, you're so wonderful. You prayed for me. Now I'm healed. Doesn't say that at all. This is Peter as a man like you and me moving in gifts of the Spirit. Peter doesn't turn around and say, well, hang on a second, thank me. Before you go off, a bit of thanks. Nor does he say, I'm Peter, receive from my great anointing. They praise God. It's a spiritual gift being seen in action. Now, the thing to remember with a story like that is this. It's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that we're talking about this morning is the same Holy Spirit we're reading about here. He hasn't been diluted in any way over the years. Same power, same presence, same desire, same Spirit. It doesn't matter what gift you have. If the purpose for them is to keep them to yourself, we're not really going to get very far, are we? The goal of gifting is to build others up, to build the church up, to glorify Jesus, and to show something of the presence and the power of God. So how are the gifts distributed? Well, verse 11, you have this list of the different gifts, and then he says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each as he wills. So in other words, the Spirit decides who gets what. The Spirit decides what gift, what ministry, and what effectiveness you're going to have. He gives the gifts, he decides. So you come back to this story of this guy, John G. Lake. You read through that book, preach to thousands. So hundreds of thousands saved across the world. Miraculous healings. God gifted him for the place that he was in at the time that he was in and the purposes he had for him. God always supplies our needs, doesn't he? If he calls us into something, he equips us for something. So what's the situation you're in this morning? What situation do you find yourself in? What gifting do you need this morning for the situation? Maybe God's calling you to be a man or a woman who moves in the gift of prophecy. Maybe he's calling you to be someone who moves in the gift of healing. Why not? See, this guy was gifted for America in the 1900s. We're not in America, and we're not in the 1900s. We're here. We're in Attleboro. We're in Christ Community Church. You are at the playground meeting other mums. You're in whatever other area that you serve in. You're in whatever other social setting you find yourself in. So what gifting does the Lord have for you to be able to glorify Jesus, build up the church, and so show something of God's power to the people around you. If he calls you into something, he's going to equip you for that thing. So how do you move forward? It's a big thing, isn't it? How do you move forward in spiritual gifts? So you could look at this passage and the conclusion could be, well, gifting comes from the Spirit. Yep. And he gives us, he desires. Yep. And he gives us whatever he wants to give us. Absolutely. So your conclusion could be that receiving gifts of the Spirit and moving in gifts of the Spirit looks a lot like this. Have I received it yet? Bit of waiting. He gives, after all, doesn't he? That's what the Bible says. He gives gifts. He decides who gets what. But, and it is a but, Paul goes on to say later on, which I'm sure we're going to see again in the up and coming weeks, he tells us that we are to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we prophesy. So receiving gifting doesn't seem to be just some sort of placid thing on our behalf, lots of waiting around, not really doing much, just waiting. Doesn't seem to be like that. Paul doesn't suggest that. You know, give me the gift of prophecy, Lord. How long do I wait? Oh, I'm not sure I've received it yet. That's not eagerly desiring. I don't think it is anyway. Eagerly desiring something, just... Now, I'm not knocking waiting, obviously. But you've got to balance that with this idea of eagerly desiring. So God is sovereign. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows what gifts he has for you. He knows the situations you're going to find yourself in. And yet, there's this invitation for us to play our part in that as well. There's this invitation for us to come into the presence of God, to ask and to seek out gifting. As Paul says, to eagerly desire gifting. That doesn't mean we take any credit for what God has done, because we know he's freely given gifts. They're not earned, they're not deserved, they're a free gift. But it does mean that we need to take responsibility to use and sharpen the gift that God has given to us. If he's given you something, you've got to use it. We're not responsible for the outcome. If you give a prophetic word this morning, it's not your responsibility. You're not responsible for the outcome of it. But you are responsible for the obedience to step out in the first place. See, God gives us gifts to use them. If you don't use what the Lord has given to you, are they not useless? They're not really going to bear much fruit, are they, if we just keep them to ourselves? So maybe you've been gifted in prophecy, but if you never say anything, how is that going to build up the church? How is that going to encourage those around you? How is that going to glorify Jesus? So Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So each one should use whatever gift he has received. Are we using what we've got? So I'll give you a description. I think I wouldn't be bold enough to say maybe this will describe you, but this describes me sometimes. Lord, I want the gift of prophecy. Lord, give me something to share on Sunday morning, something which is going to encourage people, good motives. Sunday morning comes round, I'm standing there in the meeting, and then I think, I feel something now. And then it begins. Shall I? Shan't I? Do I? Don't I? Does it fit in? Does it not fit in? Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Palms are sweaty. Heart's going a little bit faster. How am I going to phrase it? What happens if I get up there and then I kind of forget halfway through what I'm supposed to be saying? That's not going to encourage anybody. Oh, my goodness, I'm not really sure. Now, at that point, you've got a choice. You're either going to go for it, or you're not going to go for it. You're either going to step out in what you feel the Lord's given to you, or you're not going to do anything at all. Now, who can say every time the Lord's given them something, they've stepped out? No. But often you get something. I remember talking to Paige about evangelism. And I was like, Paige, you seem to go out and you have these amazing stories and how amazing, it's so cool. I said, is there any ever a time when you don't, when you like go out and you miss an opportunity? And she said, all the time. I go out and I think I should share with that person, but I can't share with that person. I just, oh, I'm going to share with someone. Oh, I just feel a bit, oh, my, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm not sure how well I'm going to be received. It's the same with spiritual gifts. If God gives you something, we've got the choice, haven't we? Do we step out or do we not? You know, you're not going to prophesy over many people if you don't open your mouth. You're not going to see many people healed if you don't find someone sick to go and pray for. And you're not going to really grow in the gift of hospitality if your house is your castle and the drawbridge is up and no one is ever coming in. How are you going to grow in the gift? So yes, gifts are sovereignly given by God. They're not something we can manufacture, but they are something we can play our part in and mature in. And they're something that we can seek God after. So we're going to come back to worship and we're going to have a chance to respond to what you've heard. But I do really want to just make sure that we're crystal clear that when you're talking about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about labels and titles. Well, so-and-so is a prophet, or so-and-so moves in whatever, this, that, or the other. It's not about that. It's about glorifying Jesus. It's about seeing something of the kingdom of God breaking out in a tangible way that you can experience. Yeah, Paul says, doesn't he, about prophecy, when people come into the room and they hear you prophesy and they say, man, God is among you. Wouldn't it be cool to have that level of prophecy in the church where non-believers come in and just say, man, you've completely nailed me there. You've got my... That's me. Well, why not? Why not here this morning? Why not in Christ Community Church? Because the Lord's desire is to give gifting to his people. Now, I can tell you, if you fancy it, somewhere to go online, and if you're unsure what your spiritual gifts are, there's some surveys you can complete. 100, I'm not joking, 100 easy questions to work out your gifting. And that might be helpful. But I can also tell you the Bible says the Spirit leads us into all wisdom and into all understanding. And it'd be an awful lot quicker and easier if we pray and the Spirit just quickens something in your heart about what gifting he has for you. If he just quickens something in you about the way that he wants to use you in service for the church. So maybe you're unsure this morning. Hopefully this morning you just feel a sense of, do you know what? Yeah, it's for me. It's for me. But you're unsure. Well, we'll pray about that after, during worship. Maybe you're not using what the Lord's given to you. I'm not talking about, should have shared that. Didn't share it. Sorry, Lord. You know, God is gracious. But maybe the Lord has spoken things over you in the past. Maybe he's gifted you for something and you are deliberately doing the, don't want it, Lord. Don't want it. If you are, can I say graciously and in love, actually, maybe you need to come to a place of repentance this morning. Because this is the God of the universe we're talking about here. This is the God who spoke and the stars came into place. This is the God who created the world. And this is the God who's speaking to us this morning. And this is the God who says, I want you to do that. I want you to represent me in that place. I want you to be a mouthpiece for me in that place. So maybe, if that's you, it's a place of, Lord, I know I'm not using what you've given to me, and I want to use what you've given to me for the kingdom of God. So we'll come back to worship, and then we've got about a quarter of an hour or something like that, and we'll just kind of work our way through it, make time just to pray for those things. So if you guys want to stand, the band will lead us.